To you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WBQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man and the Dope Boy Pot and Hash, featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is at HempRock.com, and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
Cincinnati musicians, interested in submitting your music to be included in our local music library? CDs can be mailed to WVQC at 1100 Ray Street, Cincinnati, Ohio 45202, 513-651-4171, extension 11, or email to wvqcprogramming@mediabridges.org. Radio edits only, please.
WVQC. Radio for the people, by the people.
Well, they tell me of a pie in the sky, waiting for me when I die. But between the day you're born and when you die, they never even seem to hear you cry. So as sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share now of what's mine. The harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all. The harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all. Well, the officers are trying to keep me down, trying to drive me underground. And they think that they have got the battle won. I say, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they've done. 'Cause as sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share now of what's mine. And the harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all. And the harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all. Ooh. keep on fighting for the things I want. Though I know that when you're dead you can't, but I'd rather be a free man in my grave than living as a puppet or a slave. So as sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share now of what's mine. And then the harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all. Harder they come, harder they fall,
Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at facebook.com/teapotparty or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one. Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
All right. I want to give a special thank you to the man himself, Willie Nelson. And you heard it for the first time, its premiere, not only of the Hemp Rock Radio special ID for here at the WVQC Radio, but also for his now infamous 60,000 liked in Facebook, the Willie Nelson Teapot Party PSA. I want to thank him personally, not only on behalf of myself, but on the show, Hemp Rock Radio and Hemp Rock TV.
Hey, the one I did for Hemp Rock TV.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You can kind of see half my head in there. That was kind of cool.
Oh, you seen it?
Yeah, it was actually excellent.
It's on YouTube.
That's right. And we'll be on your public access station very soon.
Yeah.
And HempRockTV.com as soon as we get that up. So, well, I want to personally thank Willie for that. Again, you are listening to Hemp Rock Radio, as he said. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and I am happy today. And over there rolling the pot up, of course, is Chef Pot and Hash, the Pottsbury Dope Boy. And I guess tomorrow will be a pre-recorded recipe. I'll pick one of them out.
My regular vanilla job makes me work sometimes, and tomorrow's one of them.
That's exactly, well, you know, things do happen.
Just UPS is some samples here.
All righty. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes to talk here, but I definitely want to tell you what that song was that we played on behalf of Willie Nelson. It's off of his Countryman CD, and it is The Harder They Come. And, you know, what he says in it is absolutely true, and all I can do is pray, like everybody else, that this drug war ends soon, not only against Willie, but against everybody. Now, I have a real quick story to read, and then I'm going to tell you what happened Friday, but this is the latest on Willie Nelson's latest bust in November. Hudspeth County Attorney Kit Bramblett says Willie Nelson will get off with a $100 fine for his marijuana possession charge in Sierra Blanca, Texas, last November. As part of the plea bargain, Nelson will be required to play Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain in the courtroom. Willie Nelson was caught with 6.25 ounces of marijuana during a search of his touring bus, the Honeysuckle Rose, of course, by Border Patrol on November 26th last year. Between me and the sheriff, we threw out enough of it, or smoked enough, so that there's only 3 ounces, which is within my jurisdiction, Bramblett says. Yes, he did say that. This explains how Nelson's stash was reduced to less than 4 ounces, a Class A misdemeanor in Texas. Willie Nelson is 77 years old, and I'm 78, adds Bramblett. He's been my favorite artist all my life. We all know he smokes a little pot. Along with the fine, Nelson will be required to pay $278 in court costs. The case will be resolved in the next time Willie Nelson's in West Texas area. So, you know, I guess if all of us could go in and sing a song and have our stuff reduced, maybe we could even end up on American Idol and get thrown off because nobody really want to hear us. But, hey, whatever it takes, you know.
If the prosecutor agrees to smoke half your weed.
You know, and if they with Willie going in, that's going to be a big press thing, huge press thing if they really do this and he pulls off singing this song. That's going to be a great press
A re-election right there.
Yeah, well, you know, it also gives us notoriety for our movement.
That's
and
true.
If the guy wants to do that and bring the press in and let that happen, hey, more power to him and to Willie.
Well, the only bad press is no press.
What's that?
The only bad press
is
no
press.
Press.
That's exactly right. But anyway, just another minute or so here. Friday night, he was in Cleveland, and he was gracious enough to allow myself, the Burn Man, and Tanya Davis from not only Ohio Normal and Miami Valley Normal and Ohio Patient Network, MMJ Action, and Ohio Teapot Party. We all got in, and he was gracious enough not only to do actually 3 clips, as you said, you have for the Hemp Rock TV as well, and we have the great new show and station ID for us and the teapot party for us. I just love it. And you know, he also did one for Gatewood when he was in Louisville last Tuesday. Louisville, let me say that correctly. Louisville. It's Louisville. He did a great video on the bus, Honeysuckle Rose, for Gatewood. And we're going to go ahead and play that. Let's see. I'm trying to stay on time here, folks. Oh, I'm a minute late. See, I'm rambling. But again, we want to thank Willie not only for the stuff that he did for us and allowing us to be side stage to watch the whole show. I also want to mention that along with that, we got to meet the rest of the band. That included B, the bass player, Mickey, the harmonica player, who it turns out another friend of ours here, our volunteer photographer, he's with Cincy Groove Magazine, interviewed Mickey a few weeks ago. So if you want to hear an interview by the harmonica player from Cincy Groove, look them up online, Cincy Groove Magazine. Anyway, he was really cool. And we met the drummer and everybody else too, but it was a great time. We want to personally again thank Willie for that and for this clip on behalf of Gatewood. And right after that is my guest recorded from yesterday at Hemp Rock headquarters, Gatewood Galbraith, our friend and next governor of Kentucky, we hope. So this clip, roll that up. That would be track number 8. And then just so you know, we won't be back because the rest of the show is recorded with some music, and we'll be also playing me and Paul from Hempelation and Willie Nelson off the Volume 2, Free the Weed, Hempelation CD. And then we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place.
Burn Man, see you tomorrow.
That's right. Everybody
and
else?
I'll just be in the pre-recorded Memorex.
That's right.
But I do have to ask you guys one thing.
Yeah.
Since I didn't get to go Saturday, will you ever smoke weed with Willie again?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I never turned down no weed.
We did get to hang out in the green room. We just didn't have time to do anything. But
I
anyway.
Wish it was an outside concert. So we could have been smoking.
That's right. Well, somebody was burning some really good skunk at some point in the House of Blues,
like
up
one
there.
Hit.
It went wafting by. Everybody's looking around going, wow, that smells good.
They had him a little one hitter somewhere.
Something. But Country Kenny, we're going to see you tomorrow with Street Vibes.
Yeah, I'm going to try to.
Awesome. And don't forget the Tuesday show at high noon. I'm already going to forget what it's called with Jenny.
I'm going to try to get down here for that.
Yeah, she's on right before us. And of course, after us today, Jay All Day with Cincinnati's Conscience. It's Hemp Rock Radio. Stay tuned. It's the Willie endorsement for the Gatewood Rally campaign and Gatewood on the Hemp Rock Radio show. And the rest you'll know after you hear it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, this is Willie, and you're going to be voting for a governor in your state, Kentucky, pretty quick. So think about Gatewood Galbraith, because he's my friend. I've known him a long time. He and I believe the same way about a whole lot of things, and I think you believe a lot of the same things that he does. So hear him out. Gatewood for governor. Thank you.
right, this is the Happy Hemptress. I'm sitting here in my kitchen at Hemp Rock headquarters, and across the butcher block table from me is Gatewood Galbraith. Gatewood, thanks for joining me today here on this beautiful Sunday afternoon.
Can I call you by your first name, Happy?
Yes, today I'm happy. Sometimes I am the pissed off Hemptress, as you know. So yeah, I'd rather be pissed off than, you know, the rest. But
yes. Hey, thanks for having me on Hemp Rock Radio, Lynn. It's you've always been a icon and a heroine to me, and I'm just always a pleasure to appear on any of the media that you're going through.
Well, I appreciate it, and I can't say not only how I appreciate you coming on and doing shows with me all the time, whether it's on our show or other bigger shows here in the area, but all your work. You know, it's funny. We're going to be playing here in a minute a new clip that I got from Willie Nelson last week, and I want to thank you for that because you helped us do that. But it's really you and Willie that kind of started my whole thing. You know, I joined your campaign in 1990 for your first run for governor in 91 because I saw you and Willie on Inside Edition talking about driving around the state in your red Mercedes wagon burning hemp fuel in it. And I was like, well, I think I want to go help that guy since I live in Ohio and can't vote for him. So I blame it on you.
Well, you know, me being associated with cannabis is kind of like the ugly kid that they had hang a pork chop around his neck to get the dog play with him.
Yeah.
I just hang a little bud around my neck, and I have more friends than you can possibly imagine.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I thank you for that because I've watched all the ups and downs of everything that you've done as a lawyer and everything, and even with Willie. You know, he had issues over 20 years ago by helping your campaign with the IRS that
That's
he
right.
finally resolved. And, you know, those kind of things are happening today in the movement. The IRS is going to try to start treating all the dispensaries like Al Capone people. And let's hope that doesn't work on their behalf. But that's certainly a place that our government likes to target people is through the IRS.
Well, let me tell you what a man Willie is. He had made a deal with the IRS, and then he came out and supported me and everything, and they kind of went back on the deal. And so I said, Willie, I'm really sorry about that. And he says, no, let's do a couple of more.
That's
do a
right.
couple more concerts.
Piss him off some more.
Yeah, I mean, he came right back around. He just unfazed by it. And, of course, the Waylon Jennings tells a story that he called Willie when he heard about his troubles. And he heard that Willie was being claimed $17 million against him. So he called Willie, and he caught Willie out on a golf course in Hawaii. And he says, Willie, $17 million. And Willie says, well, it ain't so much if you say it real fast.
Didn't hurt so bad.
What a guy.
Just
I was just on the bus with him here a couple of days ago. Well, last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And just as gracious and generous with his time. And cut a little commercial for me for my run for governor. As you know, I'm an independent candidate for governor here this November.
Yes.
And we're in the process of campaigning in Kentucky right now. And things are going really well. We came out against mountaintop removal. We're the only ticket out there against mountaintop removal. And
now, of course, explain to people what that means. A lot of people don't know where their energy comes from in electricity. Explain that for those folks.
Well, for folks who are new to it, I know a lot of people already know this, but what we're burning in our furnaces right now, what we're running around on in our cars right now, is the sun's energy that was trapped and stored by growing biomass thousands of years ago. That's why hemp is petroleum.
Yes.
All petroleum is liquefied vegetative matter that was grown eons ago and trapped and stored the sun's energy through photosynthesis, and then was set aside by nature, and was either put through a liquefaction process over those eons.
Turned into oil.
Or turned into oil, petroleum, or it was compacted into coal and peat. And so what we burn in our furnaces is that sun's energy is trapped and stored long ago. Hemp is the most efficient photosynthesizing biomass on the planet. That's why on an annual basis right now, hemp is a sustainable biofuel. In other
yes.
words, you can grow it every year and trap and store that sun's energy and convert it on into oil and petroleum. But as far as coal goes, you know, Kentucky is the greatest source for coal anywhere in the continental United States. And it's an old history and tradition of mining coal in Kentucky. And they used to do it by deep mines. They'd burrow underneath the ground and carve out tunnels by taking the coal out. And it employed a lot of miners. And then they went
killed a lot of miners,
killed
too.
Killed a lot of miners, too. And then eventually they got some safety regulations in, which still aren't strong enough. But
not
it's
at all.
Still better than it used to be.
Yes.
So then they began, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they began strip mining, which means that you went out into these flatlands, or especially in western Kentucky, and you just went to the flatlands and you just ripped up the overlaying sod and dirt and you dug a hole right down those flatlands, and you piled up all the dirt along each side of it, and you went in and you just scooped out the coal. Well, they decided that was you don't have to have that many miners for that. You know, nowhere near the number of miners, because the machines do most of the work.
Right.
So then they decided to export that method of extraction over to the tops of the mountains.
Mm.
So now they're going to the tops of the mountains, just blowing the tops off the mountains and going ahead and digging down.
Totally changing the structure of Kentucky itself.
It flattens the mountains and takes that excess top of the mountains and pulls it over into the valleys and streams that make up the sides of the hill.
Yeah.
And so it is a horribly destructive method of extraction. And people say, well, you're against coal. I said, no, I'm not against coal. I understand its values. I am against such a destructive method of extracting it.
Right.
And not only that, but it cuts miners' jobs. You know, you want employment, go back to deep mining.
Yeah.
And so the big coal companies are definitely against us in this matter. But from an ecological and environmental standpoint, I'm not going to let them do that to my state.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm a big private property advocate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you got private property, you can do damn most anything you want to, and I'm not going to say anything about it.
Right.
But when the runoff from your property starts destroying the streams and the
and
mines
comes into
and
your
the valleys
property.
And comes into mine and other people's property, that's a different story.
Right.
And you don't get to do that.
Right.
You know, without some regulation. So that's we would like to stop a mountaintop removal, which is
so
exactly
now,
what it is.
This is exactly why the miners union that first supported you has now pulled out of the
campaign. No, that isn't the reason they pulled out.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, one of them told me, he's a miner, has been all his life. He said, okay, would you stick with the mountaintop removal? Because unless you're actually making a paycheck off of it, there's no reason in the world to support it.
Yeah.
He says, I don't. He says, I'm not in it, and I don't. And a lot of other miners don't either.
They're afraid to speak up to those that are the bigger companies doing it.
They're not afraid to. That's their home up there. They don't want to see it destroyed either.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason the miners, who had originally given me their endorsement, I asked them a year ago, they gave me their endorsement, and I said, why are you giving me an endorsement? I said, you've never lied to us, Gatewood. And I said, well, hell, if I was going to lie to you, I'd already been elected governor.
That's right.
Okay. So they were strong for me. And then the governor had him up there in his office six times.
Mm.
And all the things that he had said that they couldn't have, he turned around and conceded everything that they had asked him to do, which he had denied them a year ago. And that's why they came to me, because the governor wasn't giving them anything.
Right.
And he's a Democrat, and they usually support Democrats, but he wasn't giving them anything.
Now, can he run again?
Oh, yeah. He's my Democratic opponent in
this. Oh, so he's the incumbent running.
This fall, I'm running against a Democratic governor incumbent.
Yeah.
I'm running against a Senate, who's president of the Senate, who's a Republican, and who's going to win his primary. And we're the independent. And I'd like to tell you a bit about my running mate.
Definitely.
Dee Riley.
Yes.
Dee is just, she is one of the sharpest people I've really ever met. Great mind on her, great personality, very socially adept. She has been a Republican. She raised $1.2 million for George Bush in 2000.
Do you forgive her for that?
Oh, well, that was before she's ever run across me and really been educated about a lot of what was going on.
Yeah.
She's a political consultant. She consulted and ran campaign for two present Kentucky Supreme Court justices.
Wow.
She won campaigns for them. And so she really knows what she's doing. She's the mother of six, two adopted. One of her natural children is a special needs child, had 16 operations.
Aww.
But Dee was born in Kentucky. She moved out as after high school out to Utah, married into a wealthy family, and was married for like 20 years, came back, got divorced, came back here, and began political consulting. And so when she was out there, she saw me running for governor, and she listened to what I had to say, and she got turned around.
Good.
You know, she got turned around. All of a sudden, she says, you know, hey, you know, this guy's making more sense than anybody else out there. You know, I'd like to see him just to be governor. I'm going to do my best to try to get him to be governor. So she and I hit it off. She said, you're Alpha Gatewood. You know, just tell me what you want me to do. But what I'd like to do, she says, is return Kentucky to prosperity. She says, I'm a marketer. I know how to market things. I want to market Kentucky. And, you know, I'd be a great sidekick for you. And she has been terrific.
Wonderful.
Some of my redneck friends have a little problem with her. You know, Gatewood, she's a bitch. And I said, well, wait a second, man, the bitch stands for boys, I'll take charge here.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and right. You don't like her because she can outfish, out hunt, and outride any of you.
Yeah, and for the record, there's, you know, a lot of people in our movement, per se, for cannabis and hemp, that have been accused, doesn't matter whether it's true or not, of being male chauvinist. And I know that there's some people that even said that about you. And let me say something for the record. I've never, ever experienced anything male chauvinist out of your bones ever, Gatewood.
Well, my two ex-wives and three daughters would never let me get away with that.
I know. I tell people all that all the time.
I've been well trained, you know.
Children, you know, all the girls. There's no way that he could be male chauvinist. You're around too many girls all the time. And you have treated myself, a woman, a bitch, as they have I have been called many times, with the utmost respect since I've known you. And I want people to know that.
Here's the deal, man. You know, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your proclivities are. I'm nonpartisan. I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I'm not anti anything besides jihadists, which I'm very much against.
Yeah.
And what I want to try to do is the same practice with my personal life, the same practice I want to put into my political life, and that is be totally independent of partisanship and dogma. I don't. The Democrats and Republicans. The reason we have such big problems in Kentucky. Is that the party leadership had their horns locked up like two bull elk fighting over territory while the business of the people lays dead in the dust.
Yeah.
And neither party can produce a candidate that can disengage from the partisanship long enough to work with the other side and get the job done.
Yeah. Follow the party line is the line.
That's right. And so Dee and I believe that an independent governor who doesn't care who gets credit for doing what's right stands the best chance of using civility and statesmanship to get the best intention to both parties to join together to finally address the problems.
Yeah.
But there's the key to it. Civility and statesmanship. People don't practice that anymore. We may agree on 8 or 9 bedrock issues, but we get divided on 1 or 2 issues, and all of a sudden we're in enemy camps when, in fact, our own mutual enemies are just destroying us by keeping us separated over 1 or 2
issues. Because we have the same enemies.
That's right. So, you know, these people who say, you know, she's a woman, she doesn't belong in a leadership position, or, gee, you know, she's got too sharp a tongue, you know, or she's not submissive or something like that. I say, hey, kids, you know, get over it. I mean, it's time for extraordinary things. And trying to get these people to work together, trying to be all-inclusive, trying to get trying to get everybody to put aside their personal dogmas and all, and work together in a common direction, must be training for trying to get the Democrats and Republicans to work together after I become governor.
Yeah.
It's like trying to herd cats. But they've got to set it aside. So here's the way I see myself.
Okay.
I see myself as the manure spreader. You know, we got all this crap piled up into the stables, down political stables, and neither party wants to have to haul it away.
Yeah.
So, you know, I say to myself, I'm your manure spreader. I'm pulling up right in front of the stalls. You get your shovels busy and just load all that shit onto me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take it away for you.
Turn it into something good.
Turn it into something good. I tell them one of my lines in my race is, you know, putting another pretty face at the front of a failing restaurant does not solve the problems in the kitchen.
That's right.
Somebody's got to go back there and clean out them grease traps, and I'm just the guy to do it.
Yeah.
I've grown up, I worked in restaurants before. I know what grease traps are. I'll clean it out. You all know. Appear to be able to. You're afraid to go in there because you're afraid of what the other party's going to do to you if you do it. I'll take all the blame.
Yeah.
All I want, I'm an independent, D and I are independent. We're not trying to replace either party. We're not trying to replace the Democrats or the Republicans. We don't want you to denounce your own party. You don't have to say, oh, I'm no longer a Democrat or I'm no longer a Republican. And you don't have to vote for the dreaded other party.
Yeah.
What we want, D and I want, is for both parties to shine.
Yeah.
We want them both to do those things at which they are best instead of fighting defensive actions all the time, which does not allow them to go out and do what it is that they do that's good for everybody.
Right. That's right.
So that's what our candidacy represents, and it's getting a lot of play in Kentucky.
Well, let me ask you this. Ron Paul's son, Rand Paul is now in Kentucky. Have you been following what he's doing?
And
what do you think about what he's doing? I don't know a whole lot about his politics.
He is symptomatic and symbolic of the total disgust with the system that the average taxpayer has out there. I went to one of these Tea Party rallies over in Frankfurt. As a matter of fact, I spoke at the first big three Tea Party rallies.
The regular Tea Party.
Regular Tea Party, that's right. Not the Teapot Party, but the regular Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
And was very well received because I've been for smaller government and less taxes. I have no problem with that. The first one I spoke to, there's 1,000 people there. And I said, how many of y'all are out here demonstrating for anything for the first time? And 900 of them raised their hands. That was the first time they had ever come out to express displeasure like that. So that told me just how deep it was going.
Yeah.
But I went to, after a while, after about a year of it, I went to one of their rallies over in Frankfort. And as I walked up to the crowd, one of the leaders says, well, hey, thank you for joining us, Gatewood. And I said, what? I said, thank you all for joining me. Where the hell you been the last 30 years?
Yeah.
I've been the ones had to stand out in traffic holding big yellow signs and run for office, try to tell you what they're doing to you. I thank you all for catching up with me.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting the message.
Yeah.
And so what I think about them, what I think is that is that they fell victim to what I warned them to in my first three speeches to them. Don't get co-opted by the Republican Party.
They did.
Don't get subsumed by the Republican Party. And sure enough, they did.
Of course.
You know, so I saw that coming time ago. Okay.
Me too. Remember, we even had a discussion about exactly who was the Tea Party, the good, or were they being usurped by the people that really weren't Tea People?
Right. And but you
got to be careful with them.
Hi, I'm Gatewood Galbraith, criminal law attorney and the last free man in America. You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, WVQCLP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM. And then I've been on Facebook, somebody said, you know, I'm sorry, I heard you were at a Tea Party, Gatewood. Don't you, you got to stay away from that. You got to denounce those people and you know, follow this line of thought. And I said, wait a second. I'm not going to denounce anybody.
Yeah.
I want votes from the Tea Party. I attended the Republican parties and Democratic parties, too, their rallies.
Yeah.
I want votes from all those, and I want votes from the independent.
Yeah.
You know, there is. I'm not going to denounce anybody unless they're out there just working against the people.
Right.
I don't possess all the knowledge in the world, and I don't possess all the righteousness in the world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there who're doing what it is that they do. I don't have to like it, but I'm sure they don't like some of the things I'm doing, but they're putting up with me.
Right.
It's a social compact.
And, you know, not to bash all Republicans, because not all Republicans are bad. I have a feeling the next presidential election that I might even be voting Republican, because we have Rand Paul's father, Ron Paul, running, who most people aren't aware, but he really started out as a libertarian and then went, oh, well, maybe I'll be a Republican. I'll get more notoriety that way and get more votes that way. And then there's Gary Johnson, of course, former governor of New Mexico, is supposedly putting his hat in. Now, my hope is that one of them will win the Republican nomination and then ask the other one to be the running mate.
Well, you know, what's going to militate against that habit is that the Supreme Court ruling that corporations can fund elections.
Yeah.
You know, GE and people I call the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, military, industrial, transnational, corporate, fascist, elite son of a bitches.
Can you say that again?
Yes, petrochemical, pharmaceutical, military, industrial, transnational, corporate, fascist, elite son of a bitches.
Thank
who've never said pledge to the allegiance to the United States of America or to the republic for which it stands.
Yep.
And who see the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as impediments to the implementation of a new world order in the global economy.
And are trying to dismantle it.
And are going to spend every cent that they have trying to keep folks like that from winning.
I
hope the grassroots comes up and is able to bite him in the ass one more time.
I hope so. I hope so, too. Yeah, because I, you know, we all had hope with Obama, and I kind of feel like a deja vu. Clinton did the same thing to us, if you remember.
Oh, don't remember.
We supported him in his campaigns.
Hey, sex, drugs, and rock and roll got him elected.
That's right.
He went right around and just didn't do it right for us.
That's exactly right, and now Obama has done the same thing. And, of course, you know, I'm not one to know for sure, but I sense that there's a possibility that there might be some threats in there behind the doors, and that's why they buckle all the time.
There's no doubt.
And it doesn't matter what kind of threats, they're going to go along with it because of their own fears.
They'll kill you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, exactly. They will.
You in a heartbeat.
That's exactly right.
They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they're in control, you know.
And they want to stay that way.
That's exactly right. But, and, you know, I just, as I came up, I told you the best news I've heard in a long time here recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had all this, and I started out trying to change these laws in 1971. You know, so I've been at it for 40 years now. I woke up every day trying to get it done. And, you know, it's not always been easy, and there hadn't been a lot of comrades out there for a lot of those years.
And then you gain some and lose some along the way.
That's right. So in 1996, 25 years later, when Proposition 215 passed out in California, that was huge.
Yes.
I mean, just huge. And then all these other states, and Portland or Oregon and Washington and Colorado and New Mexico and all these other states that have taken incremental steps to change these laws on marijuana. But the and then Kentucky, the laws on marijuana are that, of course, it's totally illegal, and is classified as a Schedule 1 narcotic. No medicinal value, no or a high potential for abuse. And so these other states' laws did not change, you know, it's a classification. I could not use those as saying, you know, it's illegal to keep it as a Schedule 1 in Kentucky. But the other day, the DEA okayed the distribution of Sativex, which, for those who don't know, is a marijuana tincture. A tincture, it's a spray. They use it to spray under the tongue. It creates immediate relief to multiple sclerosis. It's the number one medicine for multiple sclerosis, according to the American Medical Association.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, that's a sublingual spray, meaning under the tongue, and it absorbs through that way.
That's exactly right. You don't have to smoke it or anything, and you don't have to eat it or anything, and it brings far quicker relief than having to eat it anyway.
Yes.
It's a preferred format for delivery for a lot of people and a lot of cancer patients.
And a lot of other medicines as well, not just this.
That's right. So, but what that does, it's the DEA's recognition that it is a medicine, which means that the top people in charge have said, okay, it's a THC. They gave the pharmaceutical companies the right to grow their own plants to derive natural THC out of plants and put it into this medicine, THC and CBD.
Yeah.
So it is the top law enforcement, federal law enforcement's admission that naturally grown THC is a medicine, which means it's unconstitutional to continue it as a classified as a Schedule 1 in the state of Kentucky, which means that you could raise medical necessity and a choice of evils as a defense to every marijuana possession charge in the state.
Now, people are going to say, but that's only the sublingual. How can you then move that over to the whole plant?
Well, Not that argument doesn't even come in. What it is, you grow the plant.
Yeah.
You grow the plant. You know, what it's saying is that naturally grown THC in the plant form is a medicine.
Yes.
Okay. So we're simply giving the pharmaceutical companies the right to utilize it. We're not going to let you do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, you know, we'll get into that. That's unconstitutional. We'll
Absolutely.
Get into that. But it brings up the obligation and the opportunity to begin litigation, overtaking it out of the Schedule 1 and into some other schedule. And then concomitant with that argument is, well, you know, in what form are we going to allow people to have it?
Yeah.
And Kentucky's going to make great strides.
Yeah.
It gives me an excuse when I'm governor just to change everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of debate in the medical versus, say, for instance, with the Prop 19 that didn't work. So on that topic, you know, there's a lot of organizations and different people in the medical side that were actually, believe it or not, opposed to Sativex because they want to push only the whole plant, and anything other than that they think is going to stop whole plant. I think it can open the door personally to prove that it is medical. And
I'm not against pharmaceuticals. I take pharmaceuticals for various things at various times, and they help
sometimes.
Me. What I'm against is the criminalization of farmers from producing it from the natural cycle in competition with the pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly. They should be able to grow it and sell it to the pharmaceutical companies. And the regulation be there, is it the highest quality that can it be for the medicine?
Well, you know, as someone once said, and I think it was Dick Cowan from Normal, he says, just because you can make vitamin C into tablets doesn't mean you outlaw oranges.
Right, exactly. And that's the truth. And that's what people don't understand. So now on the topic of going with the medical versus, first of all, let me establish this. I've said this before. I support, if it's kind of an over-the-counter situation, if I go buy aspirins, I pay taxes on those aspirins. If I go to the pharmacist and get something that the doctor wrote, then there isn't taxes on that level.
That's right.
And I don't look at the dispensaries as a pharmacy at all, because we don't go to the pharmacist and go, I'd like that pill over there, and I'd like maybe a few of those pills too.
Well,
that
isn't how you can.
But you got to go to the doctor first to do that.
Yeah, you got to go to the doctor first.
Right, but with medical marijuana, he doesn't tell you what kind to buy. Unless he says maybe try to get an indica to sleep good at night, sativa to wake up with.
That's right.
Yeah. But when you go to the dispensary, you've got 100 to choose from, and you can choose whatever you want. So it's like going to the counter and picking out whether you want aspirin, Tylenol, or ibuprofen.
Right, exactly.
So it really is, as far as I'm concerned, coming from a retail family, wholesale business person, that I don't have an issue with that part of the taxing. Yet, you know, I'm sure you understand, and you know that there's this big, huge fight that ended up really disrupting Prop 19 from the medical community, including Dennis Perrone, who led and fought for 215, against any taxing of it.
That's right. Well, here's my deal with it.
And I know you come from the other end.
Here's my deal with it. You can grow your own within certain limitations. You can grow your own. There's no taxation on that. You grow your own.
I agree. Like brewing beer in your basement.
That's exactly right. But if you deal in it in commerce, the government has a right to tax and regulate commerce.
And that's where I agree too.
Let's take Paul Stanford out in Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
Paul was caregiver for 10 patients. Yes. Out there, you can raise 16 plants per patient if you're a caregiver, okay? Those people don't need to pay any money for that marijuana. So it's not taxed.
Yeah.
You know, they may contribute to its production.
It's like a CSA, community agriculture.
They don't buy it from Paul. I mean, it's theirs, and they smoke it.
It's like farming. The CSA is community supported agriculture.
If you care not to grow your own, and you would rather go out and buy it because you don't want to go through the hassle of growing it,
or you don't know
you
how,
you got to pay some taxes.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a nice spiritual thing, and it, you know, as I said, in my eulogy to Jack Hare, you know, marijuana is a gateway drug. It's a gateway to existentialism.
Yes.
It's a gateway to finding out there's more than one perspective to life, and which gives you the right to choose what it is that you want to do.
As well as everybody else.
As well as everybody else. So, you know, it is, it's a tonic and all. And it's, you know, we should encourage a spirituality. I don't want Friday night sales. I don't want the corporations to own anything.
Yeah.
I don't want the corporations into it because they're just nothing but corporate bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want advertising on growing it or smoking it. I don't want smoking it to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be advertising. I don't want golden arches. I don't want Friday night sales. I don't want corporations. I want to stay in the hands of the mom and pops.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the people who've been dealing it up to now to be able to deal it after it goes legal.
Yeah, and that's another issue. You know, there's some of the people in different states that are writing into their medical bills that anybody that has had prior convictions for dealing in marijuana is exempt from being able to do it legally. And I'm like,
they're the ones you recruit.
That's who you get.
That's the best business minds of the generation. You're
exactly.
Running a multi-billion-dollar business without a shred of paperwork.
Yeah, we agree with you now, but you're not allowed to do it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's
it
never going to happen in Kentucky.
Yeah. So that, you know, everybody has a lot of different feelings and how it should be, how it shouldn't be. And I always like to quote Roger Waters off of one of his solo albums, the song It's a Miracle. By the grace of God Almighty and the pressures of the marketplace, the human race has civilized itself. And so back to Dee, you know, you said she was in marketing. It really is about marketing, whether it's marketing the candidate, the product, whatever it is, the idea. And it really has to be. And unfortunately, no matter what the opposition says that, we're just doing this because we just want to smoke pot, we do that anyway. It really comes down to them not wanting to give up their bottle that they suck on, which is us all the time, stealing our money, throwing us in jail. And, you know, here in Ohio, we've got a new governor who is now selling off our state prisons to all of his buddies in private prison industry.
We got two private prisons.
Evil.
They're going to get shut down my first day in office.
I hope so.
There is no such that is dealing in human beings. That's commerce in human beings.
Talk about marketing your business.
Modern day slavery.
Yes.
Has people giving dividend checks depending on how many beds that they can fill.
Yeah.
California prison guards are the biggest contributors to the war on drugs in California.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to shut those Nazi bastards down.
Now, you heard what happened with a couple of Pennsylvania judges a couple of years ago, right? They even, you know, Law and Order does the ripped from headlines. There was even one episode dedicated to this topic
I saw that.
And one judge a year ago already pled guilty. The second one, who was the bigger crook, was found guilty a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Their friends owned the children's prison.
Right.
So if they're willing to throw children in prison for fighting on the bus,
you know,
to help their friends make money.
My only consolation on the thought that there may be a hell is the fact that there's going to be a lot of low-life bastards who are going to be buried further, deeper, and hotter in than I am.
Can I help with the shovel?
Yeah. Well, give me a rope so I can
Yeah, hemp rope.
But listen, I need to hit the road here pretty soon, dear.
Let me
kind of draw this to a close by telling you things are going fabulously with the campaign.
Wonderful.
We're getting more and more people all the time. It is a people's campaign. We're not going to be able to run a lot of commercials on TV, but we will have some money to spend on TV this time.
Well, we're going to be running your Willie Nelson spot for you.
Well, thank you. I encourage everybody, if you're listening to this in Kentucky, if you have friends in Kentucky, to alert them to what's going on. We need 5,000 signatures to get on the ballot, 5,000 legible signatures of Kentucky voters. There's nothing more heartbreaking than getting in 100 signatures and 30 of them being illegible.
Yeah, and they must be registered voters.
They must be registered voters in the state of Kentucky. People can take the petition off of our website. It's at gatewood.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to gatewood.com and get the petition printed off on the website. And down at the bottom of it, on the bottom of the petition, has a mailing address that you can mail it to once you get some signatures.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about filling it up. There's about 30 spaces on it. If you can just get you and a couple of friends and or your family, or you know, more signatures, the better. Make sure they're legible, and they can print.
Mm-hmm.
They can print. It doesn't have to be, you know, written in cursive style. They can print your name.
Even the signature?
Yeah, that's a signature. Okay. That counts as a legal signature.
Okay, I guess if an X does.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so we'd like to put in about 20,000 signatures.
Wonderful.
So it's also a great way to organize your city or your town or your school or what have you.
Right.
Get these petitions, get some signatures for us, and mail it in to us.
Yeah.
Keep up with us at gatewood.com. We're gonna have some big shows this summer.
Yeah.
We're talking to some big name people this summer. We're
going
to just knock some people's eyes out with some of the big names we're going to have in. I can't reveal them right now because it's all in negotiation.
Sure, absolutely.
But these are iconic names who look like they might be able to help us.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dee and I are working hard every day. I've got ever since I got into it, she's the same way. I've never spent more than $20,000 on any races. We've already raised and spent about $140,000.
Wonderful.
You know, 8 months in advance. We've got the big things working behind the scenes. The big media is going to boycott us as they always have.
Of course.
But here's what I said. They did a poll about four months ago, and it had it on the front page of a newspaper down there, and it had the present governor at about 40%, the president of the Senate, Republican, about 30%, and me at 5%. And so they said, Gatewood said, what do you think about that? And I said, I'm ecstatic. Number one, they actually used my name in a survey.
Yeah.
They've never done that before. They've always not used my name in a survey.
On purpose,
so that they wouldn't be advertising the fact I'm in the race. They don't want people to know it.
Right.
And so I said, first of all, they used my name in it. Secondly, I'll take 5%, I said. I want double figures by May.
Yeah.
And I want 15 to 20% by September, and we're in like Flynn. So they did an internal poll the other day. We're at 15% already.
Hmm. Wonderful.
And we were still a month away from May.
Wonderful.
We're at 15% already. So, you know, people are cluing in. So spread the word, folks. Tell people to get on our Facebook, or get on the gatewood.com. Tell all your network. Get on your own Facebook. Tell all your network about it. And, you know, social media is going to win this race for us, guys. We need your help. You can be just absolutely fantastic asset to the campaign. Everybody out there who's listening, if you get on your social network, tell your friends about it and tell them to tell their friends. You know, God bless you. Kentucky's going to be a hell of a place to live, and I get to be governor.
Yeah. I do have two quick questions.
Yes, and maybe.
I like to call it the half-ass decrim in Kentucky that just took place where the governor...
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, no way. That's a step in the right direction.
It is. I know. It's definitely a step in the right direction. It's kind of a joke where I... Because they're only really half decrim. So it's like almost...
Well, you know, Kentucky's bankrupt.
Yes.
We are bankrupt. We can no longer afford bulging prisons and putting people in jail over minuscule items. So they passed a penal reform, which took a marijuana out of a Class A misdemeanor punishable by 12 months and a $500 fine, took it down to a Class B misdemeanor,
mm-hmm.
which is a 45-day maximum and a $500 fine.
Maximum.
And they said that, you know, if it's marijuana possession and there's... And you don't represent a danger to anybody else, you're supposed to get a ticket instead of being arrested.
Yep.
You know, so, and I believe that that's the same thing for driving, too. I believe that takes out the driving thing, too.
Yeah.
Because I won 43 out of 45 cases on marijuana DUI.
Well, you know, here in Ohio and Cincinnati, again, we have our regular decrim where it's a payout ticket. You get the ticket. You don't have to go to court. Whereas in Kentucky, you do have to go to court still.
Correct.
You just don't get arrested on the spot.
That's right. They want that their court costs.
Exactly. But they do still have the rule of you can get, in most counties, the cops will write you a DUID thing also, where you lose your license along with it. Now, Cincinnati and Hamilton County, our judges don't do that, but the rest of Ohio does. And so we need to teach some of these attorneys here how to fight that, because even with our decrim, they're still losing their license for up to a year.
Oh, you know, there's no reason to do that.
I know, but
they can't convict you on marijuana DUI.
Most people take the plea, unfortunately. Yeah, that's what happens.
That's absurd. They cannot prove it.
I agree.
The two I lost with was the judge, same judge, who said that before I started that she's not going to rule our way no matter what came out. And so, you know, my people couldn't afford to appeal it.
Yeah.
I've always gone to no jury. I mean, no jury. It's always been the judges who've ruled in my favor on it.
That's wonderful.
And when I talk about directed verdict, it means I've never had to put on evidence in any case. The judge ruled my way after their presentation of evidence.
Because they don't have evidence.
They don't have evidence. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, we need to let more attorneys in Ohio know about that. Now, one last question.
Sure.
I see in Facebook that D. Riley sends a thing out about the Hemp Coalition in Kentucky.
Yes.
You guys are a part of that. Obviously, yourself has always pushed the hemp. How is that in going, and what is the plan to push that forward?
You know the turf battles that have taken place over hemp.
Oh, of course.
the Woody Harrelson turf, the other turf, and D looked around and said, you know, hey, they aren't getting anywhere.
Right.
I want to start my own method of going about it.
Okay.
So she actually went to the belly of the beast, which is where she's from. She's a Republican, and she went to all the straight-laced Republicans and recruited out of there, and has a group of about 30-35 straight-laced Republicans who are behind it now.
Wonderful.
And so she's working them.
Okay.
And so, hemp is a major part of our platform. But, you know, everybody knows where we stand on it, so we don't take up any of our time talking about it. We talk about the other issues.
Everybody knows what you stand for.
Jobs and economics. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We have some great plans. Please go on to gatewood.com, take a look at our issues, take a look at what we stand for. And, you know, I hope that you'll feel good enough about it to get your buddies involved and get us some signatures and send them on into it.
Absolutely. Well, Gatewood, thank you for spending the time for us with Hemp Rock Radio today. I really appreciate it.
Do you know, I've gone over into some time when Kentucky's playing North Carolina. I've probably gone into game time, which tells you how much I love you, dear.
Well, I love you, too. We'll turn the TV on here in just a second.
There you go, dear.
But I thank you. And, of course, the Teapot Party here with the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky chapter supports you completely. And D. Riley as your running mate. So thank you very much.
Thank you, dear. Namaste to everybody.
You got it.
Hey, this is Willie, and you're going to be voting for a governor in your state, Kentucky, pretty quick. So think about Gatewood Galbraith, because he's my friend. I've known him a long time. He and I believe the same way about a whole lot of things. And I think you believe a lot of the same things that he does. So hear him out. Gatewood for governor. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one. Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQCLP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
I wrote a song about me and Paul. Called it Me and Paul. Well, it's been rough and rocky traveling, but I'm finally standing upright on the ground. And after taking several readings, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. I thought Nashville was the roughest, but I know I've said the same about them all. We received our education in the cities of the nation, me and Paul. Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose. But if you're staying in a motel there in Lee, don't leave nothing in your clothes. And at the airport in Milwaukee, they refused to let us board the plane at all. Said we look suspicious, but I believe they like to pick on me and Paul. And on a package show in Buffalo with us and Kitty Wells and Charlie Pride. The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride. And we drank a lot of whiskey, so I don't know if we went on that night at all. But I don't think they even missed us. I guess Buffalo ain't geared for being poor. Well, it's been rough and rocky traveling, but I'm finally standing upright on the ground. And after taking several readings, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. I thought Branson was the roughest, but I know I've said the same about them all. We received our education in the cities of the nation, me and Paul. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war
isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Krim.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Williams, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
WVQC, people-powered radio.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and the Pottsbury Dope Boy Pot and Hash. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on WVQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at hemprock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. To help end Cincinnati's harmful marijuana ordinance, please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WBQC-LP is Jay All Day with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.